Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spoke like this before. We've spoke for years, but it's always been over Twitch, you know?
Feels awkward.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
you're a real person. And you're here to talk to us because we discovered, we were talking this week about these camps where they send kids, because Netflix put out another documentary, The Program, where they talk about these reform schools. These are the schools that, like, Paris Hilton protested against because she got sent to one. They kidnap kids in the middle of the night and take them somewhere, and they either take them to like a fake school or they take them to a out in the woods. And there was a documentary about that specifically called Hell Camp on Netflix. And you told us that this happened to you.
Yeah, you were taken from your house. How old were you?
I was 17.
So you're 17. Does that make you were a senior?
I was a junior at the time.
Okay, so you're a junior in high school, and what, you're sleeping?
Yeah, so I have a twin brother. He was sent as well. And my parents told...
Wait, at the same time?
Yes, they didn't tell us, Okay. Obviously, for reasons, to keep us separated and so that we didn't know what was going on. But my dad told me the night before we got taken that he needed help, me to drive him home from dropping his car off at a shop or something. And at... about 3 a.m, he turned on my light in my room and was like, "Hey, I want you to meet two of my friends, Kip and Leia Tua." And the first thing that I said was like, "You've always, told me that, there's nothing good going on at this hour. Like, what's going on?"
And, did you really say that to him?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's great.
They were just like, grab 7 pairs of underwear. You're coming with us. And that was kind of the end of it.
So they stole your underwear too?
Yeah.
I heard of those people before.
So these guys show up. Are they big guys?
Yeah, they were huge.
Are they in masks or suits or?
Right. How are they dressed?
No. So I think one of them was like an off-duty officer. And the other one was just a big Samoan dude.
Okay. And they say, grab 7 pairs of underwear. You're coming with us.
Yeah. And so I grabbed 7 pairs of underwear and I grabbed a pack of cigarettes and they were like, "You don't need those." And I'm like, "All right, well, I'm going to smoke a cigarette." And they're like, "If you're not 18, you're not smoking a cigarette." And I was like, "What are you, a cop?" And that's when Kip, pulled out a badge. And that's why I assumed that he was an off-duty police officer.
Okay. So then, they said you're coming with us and you just followed them, or did they grab you?
So I just followed them. It didn't really look like I had an option.
Right.
Well, what did you think was happening? Did you have an idea?
I mean, my family's Italian, and so, like, you know, I didn't think that, you know, I was getting off or anything, but I was a little concerned about what was happening. Cause like I said, you know, my dad has always been a proponent of, like, you know, get home by midnight, nothing good happens, you know, late in the morning, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Did he threaten these schools? Like, had he been threatening you and your brother?
Did you think you were going to one of these schools, or what do you think's happening?
No, absolutely not. I had no idea really anything about these types of places or these types of, camps.
Well, that makes sense. You're 17, I guess. I probably didn't know anything about these camps at 17.
Yeah, but what are you thinking? Are you like, what am I doing? You just have no idea?
Yeah, I really had no idea. They took me, put me in a car. We went down to the downtown airport in Kansas City. And we got on a plane and flew to Las Vegas.
Right. Now, this is where I want to stop before all this, because this sounds to me like you're already a better kid than I was. Because if my dad and these two guys came in my room and they said, grab 7 pairs of underwear, you're not smoking a cigarette, I'm being honest now, and you're coming with us, I'd have said, fuck you.
I believe that.
I'm not going with you. I don't give a shit what you're talking. I'm not going. And you got, like, literally, you guys, you're going to have to handcuff me and drag me out of here. And while we're doing this, I'm going to call the police.
Yeah.
Like, in my head, I'm going to make this such a fucking scene.
Yeah.
I'm going to call an attorney. I'm positive there's got to be some sort of child advocates, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just know that I'm not going to be like, well, all right. Which tells me you probably weren't that bad of a kid.
Well, so, and that kind of goes into it too. It's like, if your father is telling you to do something, like, I trusted him. So I didn't think anything bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, I'm 17. I didn't really know the foresight wasn't there to think, like, I don't have to do this. You know what I mean? I was just doing what I was told.
Right.
And it was 3 in the morning.
But this is my point here, because because when I go back and look at me, I was not a kid who's doing what I'm told at any time.
Yeah.
So what did you do for your parents to say that you need to get on a plane and be taken by Kip and Roman Reigns?
So to make, like, a really, really long story as short as possible, I was a really good kid growing up. And then my parents got divorced when I was 15. And my, you know, way of rebellion was to, you know, start smoking, start drinking. I started selling drugs, pretty much everything under the sun.
Right.
was skipping school, and then, you know, just started hanging out with not so great of people. Stole a car.
Now we're getting good stuff.
Grand Theft Auto. That's big time.
Yeah. So
who was worse? You or your twin brother? Who was the bad kid out of the two?
I think I was, but I just got caught more often.
Okay.
So now you stole a car. Did you get caught stealing a car? I mean, did you have to go to court and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So now there's enough stuff that's, you know, piled up that he thinks he can't control you. Have you gotten caught selling drugs? Does he know you sell drugs?
Yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, found stuff in my room. Obviously, you can't hide stuff forever. Your parents know what's going on.
Sure.
Even, you know, you think you're being as sneaky as possible,
but
they
not.
Know a lot more than you think. Yeah,
right.
You're not.
And were you staying with your dad half the time, or, like, what was that like? Were you splitting time with your parents?
And how did you get your parents are divorced? How did you get them to agree
on this?
That's what
I'm saying. If your dad is telling his ex-wife, like, hey, I'm going to send them off to this camp, that she'd be like, no, you're not.
Right.
But they must have agreed on it, right?
Yeah, it was a decision that they made together.
Wow.
The only thing they can agree on is getting rid of you.
Yeah, your brother.
Yeah.
Like, we fight about fucking everything except for you getting the fuck out of here.
And for people who don't know, when they take you down to this airport, The airport in downtown Kansas City, this is like a municipal airport. This is like where rich people fly their jets out of. This is where when baseball teams come to play, football teams, they fly into that airport.
Yeah.
You can live here your whole life and never fly out of that airport.
Right.
So they're taking you down to, this isn't like a commercial flight where you guys are going to Vegas. They have
a private jet.
They have a plane ready for you. Did they pick up other kids while they were here, or was it just you and your brother?
So it was just me. I didn't know my brother. He got picked up by two other different guys at my mom's house.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, at the same time.
I
know this hasn't had anything to do with it, but when you guys got, when your parents got divorced and you did custody, they split you guys up?
Yeah, so I would spend, I think it was a week at my dad's house, then we would both spend a week together at one of the houses, and then we would split.
Got it.
And we would each have like a week by ourselves at
the
other parent's house.
Right, okay.
I mean, I'd never heard of that, but that makes
sense.
I
actually kind of like it.
Yeah, I kind of like it, too. I'm like, oh, okay.
I wouldn't want to be away, but yeah, but...
Yeah, okay, so they put you on the plane, they fly you to Vegas, and at this point, do you have any idea what's happening?
Yeah, how are they talking to you when they put you in the car? Did your dad get in the car with you, or no?
No. He just kind of watched me leave, got in the car.
Does he say anything?
No, he just said, just do what they say. Everything will be fine, kind of like just reassuring. And you know, going back to the whole thing, like this is probably like 4 or 5 weeks into like a pretty heavy coke bender. So like I was pretty out of it. I hadn't slept much. And again, really had no idea what was going on.
Right.
So we get to Vegas.
And you have no concept, because at that point, I think if I'm there, I'm like, all right, they're sending me to rehab.
Absolutely.
That's what I think. I'm going. This is an intervention. I'm going to rehab.
You've been doing coke for days. Absolutely, I think that. Now I'm coming down from coke. I'm on a plane. Right. I think I'm going to rehab for sure.
Yeah, I definitely thought that I was getting sent somewhere that was going to be some sort of institution. I just had no idea what it was going to be like, where it was, what was going on.
Did they tell you not to bring any other clothes besides the underwear?
Right.
And I know that it's weird for me to get stuck in this, but they weren't
it was weird.
They weren't like 7 underwear and 14 socks, or like just 7 underwear. We got everything else. What I mean?
Yeah.
And so do you just throw them in a bag, or what do you do?
Yeah, I just threw it in like a Nike drawstring bag.
Right.
But it was just 7 pairs of underwear, because eventually when we do get to the point where I get there. That's when they actually outfit you and clothe you in the clothes that they want you to wear while you're there.
Okay.
So we took the plane to Vegas, landed Vegas, and I'm like, this is awesome. Never been to Vegas before.
Right.
That was pretty short-lived. And then ended up getting on just like a little puddle jumper plane and flying to Boise. And then from Boise, they drove me, I believe it was 3 hours south to Shoshone, Idaho.
Okay, so
which is where
I'm going to stop you here. So when you land in Vegas, are you at the McNamara, whatever the big airport is?
Yeah.
So you're at the big airport. They get out. Do you get out of that plane, or just land there and stay in the plane?
He gets a different one.
No, we got out of the plane and had a...
At any point, do you think run?
Yeah, but I didn't know where I was going to go.
Right.
I didn't have a phone. I didn't have anything. So I'm like, it'd probably be better to figure out where I'm going, and then if there was an opportunity to get away, just, figure it out there.
Okay, because I think maybe, too, even if I get what you're saying, when it happened, you're like, all right, I'll just go do this. And even though, you pissed at your parents or whatever, and they got divorced, and, half of this is their goddamn fault, still like, you're just going through it. But then you still haven't thought of a way to, or thought about escaping. You're just kind of doing what they say, like, all right, let's just go.
Yeah, those thoughts started to kind of roll in around that time. And obviously that's the reason that they had the two escorts, is because they thought that I was a flight risk.
Right.
Without having any real resources, and this is the second time in my life that I've ever flown.
Yeah, I get it. You're 17.
Yeah, no, I get it.
No,
I'm just curious if you're thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At this point, definitely the thought is crossing my mind. And you're always starting to look for, like, ways out.
Yeah,
right.
At one point, I got up on the second plane to use the restroom, and because it was only two seats on each side, Leia Tua was a couple rows back, and as soon as I got up to use the restroom, Leia Tua was like, "Kip, restrain him," And I'm like, we're on a plane.
You know, right, where am I going to go?
Okay. Yeah, where am I going to go from here? But whatever.
Okay.
So you get to Boise, and then you drive. Boise, or no, you drive
in a car.
Yeah, you drive to another place in Idaho, you said.
Yeah.
Yep, and that's where the camp was. It was just a little, like, you know, I think they're called, like, Morton buildings, just like a steel building out in the middle of the desert. And they kind of sit me down and kind of explain what's going on. They're like, you know, this is Seuss. Your parents sent you here. And
this is what? Spend,
it was called Seuss, S-U-W-S. I think it stands for, like, surviving under wilderness stress or something like that. I don't know if right. anybody really knows what that stands for. But they didn't really explain much. They just kind of, you know, asked me what size clothes I was, and they gave me, you know, the clothes that I was supposed to wear, which was just, like, military surplus stuff.
Ah, okay. So they don't have the underwear for you, but they've got these other surplus clothes for you.
Yeah, they have everything but the underwear.
Okay. So when you get to this camp and you get in this building, they explain it to you. Do you see other teens there?
No, it was just, like, three people. You get there, they, you know, you change into their clothes. They do, like, a strip search to make sure that you don't have any, like, contraband or, you know, any kind of weapons or you know, drugs or whatever. And then they outfit you with the gear, and they give you a handbook, and then okay. they toss it all into a trash bag. They throw it in the back of a pickup truck, and then they drive you out into the desert where they drop me off with a group of, like, 12 other, you know, kids that were in between the ages of 13 and 17.
Okay. So now you know, because now you get there, now you see the other people your age, and you're in the desert, right? Like, in just in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing. There's no little A-frames or anything like that. You're just out there.
Exactly. Exactly. And so they drop me off, and one of the counselors comes up to me, and they're like, read in your handbook. You're in the I phase right now. When you're, you know, ready to move on from that, we'll let you know.
Okay, so this is a common thing. Sorry to interrupt, but this seems like it's a common thing, because in the documentary that came out on Netflix, they talk about the different levels. You know, you're level three, you're level two, you're level one. You got to get to this level, and then you can be done. So your camp had the same thing. They just called it something else. You start here, and you're going to work your way up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, do they warn you about escaping? Because I read a post on Reddit where someone said they went to this camp and that they tried to escape, and somebody said that if you try to escape the camp, that they would send dogs and helicopters up, and then they would bill that to your parents. And that someone said they racked up, like, a $12,000 bill because they tried to escape. Wow. So I wondered if they warn you about, like, do not try and escape, we will find you. Did they do any of that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So again, though, like, I want to reiterate, like, we were in the middle of the desert. Like, we were in the middle, and they drove us, it was like 2.5 hours from, like, the closest. Like,
right, so even if you ran, you couldn't run that far, right?
Nowhere to go, you'll die, yeah.
Exactly, and so there was actually a kid in my group that ran, and I want to say he got, like, 15 or 20 miles away from camp and made it into the closest town, and everybody that's in the town knows that there's that camp there, so as soon as they see somebody wearing the clothes that we're wearing and is our age, they just call the camp. They're like, hey,
right.
God. Because
that happened when I was in the Navy boot camp. Two guys escaped.
Yeah.
And they ran to the woods and everything else. And then as soon as they got into town, somebody was like, hey, they're here.
Right.
Like, God damn
it. Exactly.
Well, and they say in these documentaries, they purposely build these things in places that are near, if it's near any town at all, it's an impoverished town. And, you know, half the people in that town end up working for this organization. So they don't want to talk shit on it. They don't want to get it in trouble. So they say, hey, send the kid back.
Exactly. So, yeah, and that's exactly what they told us. Like, you're not, you might be able to get far, but you're not going to get away.
Right. What year was this that you were there?
2007.
Okay.
2007. Okay. So, when you get there, do they tell you you're not allowed to talk to the other kids, or are the other kids telling you, like, dude, this place fucking sucks. This is hell. You know, this is what you do and don't do. Or are you not allowed to talk to them?
So in the initial phase, you don't really get any guidance. They give you the handbook, and they just tell you to reference the handbook, and you're not allowed to talk to anybody else because they want you to figure it out on your own.
And so what this handbook is, like, telling you how to survive, how to eat? Well, I mean, is there food there, or do you have to find your own lizards to eat?
So when you first get there, they give you this big can of peaches. It was like 2 pints of peaches. And okay. They open it up for you, and they tell you to eat all the peaches, and that they said that something about the sugar in the peaches helps with like the withdrawals or like coming down. I don't know if any of that's true.
Right.
But you eat all these peaches, and then that's the can that you cook your food in.
Oh, okay. So I think that was in the Hell Camp documentary, wasn't it? Weren't they talking about eating a canned fruit juice or something? Okay, this.
Okay.
So now that they're getting you lots of calories to get you started.
Yeah. So then we would hike with our rations. So in the I phase, they would give you whatever rations you had for that day. So every morning we would wake up and eat oats that we cooked in that Billy can. And then for lunch, we had a piece of pita that had peanut butter and apricots on it. And then for dinner, we had rice and lentils.
Rice and lentils, huh?
Yeah, it was delicious.
You're hungry. People are losing weight, I'm guessing. In the documentaries, yeah. We've seen that the kids are losing a ton of weight.
Yeah, I lost a ton of weight. And I wasn't, like, skinny. I wasn't, like, fat to begin with or overweight to begin with. But you're in a basic calorie deficit the entire time you're out there.
Sounds like it.
All you're doing is hiking and moving and you know, carrying backpacks full of stuff.
All right, so I do have a couple questions because I'm curious here. So you're in school. You're going to school when they come and get you?
Yeah, I was still in school. It was October when they picked me up. So
okay. So do you just lose the rest of that school year?
So
because you're obviously gone longer than allotted absences, right?
Yeah. So I basically. Didn't finish that semester of school. And then when I went back, I had to start school back up as basically like a work release, if you will.
Okay.
But I also got, I want to say like 4, 5, or 6 high school credits for being at the camp.
Okay.
Oh, what? Okay. Weird. So somehow your high school
took credits from them?
Yeah, we allow this. You get credits.
Probably like PE and stuff, right?
Like a work release, I guess, yeah.
So it was like generic high school credits, which I was able to use for classes that I failed, which is great because I wasn't going to graduate on time.
Okay.
And this actually helped me graduate with my class because obviously with, you know, me not really giving a shit about school at that point in my life, I wasn't on par for graduating high school.
All right, so they get you out into this desert, and you're in the woods, and they're like, just read the book. Are you like, how do I get out of here to escape? But they don't give you any end game, like, do these things, and you get to go home?
Yeah, so when you're in the I phase, they basically, every question is just really open-ended. So you're like, why am I here? And they're like, you'll find out. Or like, you know, like, what do I need to do to get out of the I phase? They're just like, you know, refer back to, you know, the book that we gave you, or, you know, like, you'll graduate into the family phase when it's your time. And it's basically like just forcing like introspection and implying that you need to do certain things. And, you know, for me to eventually get out of that phase, I spent, I want to say like 72 or 96 hours just completely silent, because what kept getting me stuck was I kept asking questions and I kept trying to talk to other people and I kept trying to figure stuff out using other people or you know, relying on other people.
Right.
Communication. Yeah. And they didn't want you to do that. They wanted you to rely on yourself and
they
figure
want
it
you
out
to
for
shut
yourself.
Up. Yeah.
Exactly. They just want you to shut up and kind of obey them.
And just be there long enough that they get paid.
Yeah, well, the normal I phase was supposed to be like 6 days. I was like 17 days in it. You know what I mean? So like them getting paid, they were completely fine with that. They're like, yeah, okay. You're going to be here way longer than we expected.
Now, were the adults abusive? Did you see abuse?
So what I saw was, I think, psychological abuse. I don't think that I really experienced that because I think that psychological abuse is very subjective from person to person. So what might be psychological to somebody else isn't to me, or vice versa.
Sure.
I didn't experience that, but there were people, like, you saw kids get absolutely broken. And, you know, things were said to people that probably weren't necessary. And
like what kind of things? Just personal attacks?
Yeah. I mean, you were to kind of graduate into these next phases, you were forced to open up and talk about the reasons that you were there. You were talk about situations that have involved very personal topics in your life. And if you're not ready to talk about that, or if you're not ready to, especially with like your peers and people that you don't know, I think that can be pretty damaging.
Yeah.
And it's just every night once you make it to that family phase, you sit around a fire, you talk about stuff, and you bring up stuff that a lot of people didn't want to talk about or bring up or discuss, and it's just kind of what we did every night.
And so, I know you said that you went days without talking. What, did you ever get an opportunity to communicate with these other kids when the adults didn't see?
So once I made it out of the I phase and I made it into the family phase, that's when you start working with like the general group. And since everybody's kind of working a different program in a different time span, as I made it out of the I phase, there were another group of kids, I think one or two kids right behind me that came in. So they were in the I phase when I went into the family phase. And so that's kind of the thing that you talk about is once you get there is like, okay, like how have you seen people graduate the program? Like what did they do? What worked for them so that I know again, how I can get out of here. Like what do I need to do to just not be here anymore?
Right. Of course.
Because I haven't talked to my parents. I haven't talked to my friends. I still really don't have any idea what's going on. And I just want to go home.
Of course.
Right.
And so there isn't, is there that once a week call home, or there's no communication, it sounds like?
No, so there's no communication. Basically, once you make it to the family phase is when you get a letter from your parents, and it's like they're kind of like, hey, this is why we sent you, and by now you kind of know what's going on type thing. And then you can write them a letter, and then you get basically like one letter a week, I believe is what it was. And I'm basing this all off memory from something that happened almost 20 years ago. But I think we would send a letter, and we would get a letter in return when we talked to what was called our field supervisor, which was like the head counselor that was assigned to our case.
Okay.
So we got that once a week.
And now you were saying on Twitch earlier, I thought it was you, that someone died?
So there were two Seuses. There was Seuss of the Carolinas, and then Seuss
I saw that,
Idaho.
Like North Carolina.
Yeah, look it up now, yeah. And Seuss of Idaho, right?
Yeah, so what I have read, just researching the program, is there was somebody at Seuss, Idaho, that died from, I want to say, an insect or an animal bite.
Okay.
And then there was somebody that died in the Carolinas from a fall during a hike.
Oh, okay. I mean, so you experienced this. Do you think that it should exist? Is it a place that you would ever send your kid if your kid was completely out of control and you thought that they needed, something you couldn't give them?
It's hard to say, because I think that for me, I appreciate the program, and
wow,
I think that there were a lot of valuable things that came out of it.
Okay,
and
so I had no idea that you were going to say, like, you thought that this program actually helped you. You think that it was a good thing for you?
I think that it was necessary.
Wow.
I think that my parents had tried everything they could to do what they could to try to keep me out of danger and to put me on a better path than I was on,
mm-hmm,
and it wasn't working, and their backs were against the wall, and they just did what they saw as the only option.
Yeah.
And I do know that at that time I was not a good kid, and I was doing things that nobody should be doing, and was headed down a very, very, very bad path. It was going to end up in either death or incarceration.
Right.
Well, so there you go, Lazo. Listen to that. I mean, not only you were saying like, you don't know what your kids could do, how out of control they would have to be before you would send them to someplace like this.
Right.
But now he's saying that he actually thinks it was necessary for him, that maybe it helped him.
Right.
But I haven't heard anyone say that before.
No, well, I'm looking at it. I mean, there's a lot of people talking about the camp you went to who are discussing it, who say that they're survivors of abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Reddit's
it's everywhere. Yeah. I mean, Reddit, there's silenced kids who are silenced, all these websites that say the things that they do. Not only that, They've written articles about it that say the things that you went through at this camp would be illegal under the Geneva Convention.
I saw there was like British tabloids that wrote articles about these camps. And like, can you believe this is happening in the United States?
So do you think there's a chance that you look back on it and you have to do that in your head, that this was okay and it helped me and my dad was right? Because if not, if you get out of there, then it's a really fucked up situation. Like, there's no coming. Like, you sent me to a camp in Idaho where I was abused.
Yep.
And I was under your care. And if it turns out to be what other people are saying it is, then there's no way to have that relationship with your mom or dad again.
Well, so I'm like, that's kind of like the duality of the program is like, I know that what I gained from it was a somewhat positive experience. Like, I think that it really did help me look introspectively at who I was, what I was doing, and make some changes in my life that took me away from what initially got me there. Do I wish that my parents could have done something different and had better, not necessarily control over me, but had a better relationship with me where they didn't feel like it was necessary to do that,
right,
or been able to communicate with me so that I would have not felt like I needed to defy them in a manner that caused them to feel like the only way that they could fix this was to send me away.
Yeah.
And, you know, have me abducted at 3 a.m. Like, of course not. Like, of course I didn't want to go.
Right.
But once you realize that you're there, and once you realize that you've gone and you're now no longer there, and that's in your past.
That's an interesting point. You make a very interesting point. So let's go back to before you're abducted. What did your parents try? I think that's an interesting thing. Did they go from, we're getting divorced, because you said your parents got divorced in your 2015. In order for you, you were 15, sorry. Your parents get divorced when you're 15. By the time you're 17, you're going to this camp. So that's 2 years from the time they're divorced to then. Were you a bad kid before they got divorced? Were you a bad kid at 14?
No, and so that's kind of part of it is, like, I was in the gifted classes. I was excelling in school, you know, way ahead of my peers. And then after the divorce happened, it was basically like an absolute 180. And I think because of how quickly I was able to kind of self-destruct and spiral out of control, you know, we tried the counseling, we tried counseling with one parent or the other, with both parents, with my brother, without my brother. They tried that. They tried to find, you know, people in my life that would be other good adult mentors or figures in my life. So, you know, as to kind of not project to them, to other people that I could talk to, you know, like Young Life did, like the church thing, which,
right,
I'm not a churchgoer, so that was not the right direction.
Right.
But, you know, there were other things that were tried. And I'm not sure if there were things that they could have tried that would have worked. Because obviously this is what ended up happening. And, you know, who knows?
But there were efforts between those 2 years for other things, counseling, whatever it is.
Yeah, there was effort, and there was definitely kids that were out there where this was the first thing that their parents did. Like, they were just like, we don't like you, and we're going to send you away. I think that my parents did a lot more than what other parents did for some of the other kids that were out there.
Do they have, and as a guy who's divorced, I mean, you think about it as an adult, did they take any responsibility for your actions? Did they understand why?
I think that, you know, more recently as I've gotten older and we've had conversations as an adult, they've definitely taken responsibility as far as, like, I understand that this was, you know, a very unhealthy thing and was difficult for you to go through.
Right.
I don't think they've ever taken responsibility for my actions.
But do they take responsibility for their part in your actions?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they both know.
But did they do it then?
Then, no, absolutely not.
Right.
So my question
is, that's an interesting thing. My dad used to send me to, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists and all those things. And then whenever the psychiatrist or the psychologist wanted to talk to him about his involvement in our situations, it always turned into, well, this guy's a fucking quack. We need to go talk to somebody else.
Right. And I think that was my frustration is, you know, my parents were from all of my friends, you know, they were like, we were like the quintessential family. My parents always like chaperoned the field trips and my dad coached football and my mom was always around and everything. And they were, you know, everything was perfect. And we never really saw them, you know, argue that much. And then when they got divorced, it was out of nowhere. And, you know, my entire life, if they ever did get into an argument, it was always, you know, no matter what, we'll never get divorced.
Right.
So when that conversation finally happened, it was just so shocking. And
you knew it was your fault. I mean, that's why parents get divorced, right? So that's got to haunt you.
And you're like, you and your brother together.
Right. You're like, shit.
Probably more you, though.
They never fought. We know it's because of us. And now you feel guilty. And so you're drinking and all that stuff. And they might even tell you it's your fault. I don't know what the situation was. But if they didn't tell you that, they were just thinking it. But I want to know if you think this camp should exist. Like, do you think these should be legal? Because you're saying, and maybe you're trying to justify it. I kind of agree with what Lazo's saying here, that maybe you're trying to justify it because if it was abuse and your mom and dad sent you there, then you have to kind of deal with that. And that's a big matzo ball hanging out there. That's a big thing to try and deal with. So maybe it's better to say, hey, you know what? I came back that really sucked, and now I'm not going to do coke and whatever.
Let's just forget
about it for a while. Right, exactly. Thank you very much for spending all that money. Do you now, as an adult, with the benefit of hindsight, do you think these places should exist? Do you think they should be legal, or do you think what they're doing is wrong, you know, at least the majority of what they're doing? Or even if they're only abusing one kid, you know what I mean? That's too much, right? So should these places exist?
So two answers to that. One, no.
Okay.
And the reason I say that initially is because they sent me when I was 17. And the reason they sent me the timing was because at 18, they couldn't send me because I had a choice whether or not I could go.
Exactly.
So they sent me a couple months before that. And the fact that they had to pay two people to escort me because I was a flight risk and take me, you know, realistically against my will, like the moral ground that they're standing on is, you know, not very strong
in the first place.
But, you know, I also want to say again, like my experience there, getting past all of that and the distrust in my parents and everything, once I was able to focus on myself, was a fairly positive experience. The majority of the people that I was there with did not have that same experience.
Yeah.
So, like, again, for me, myself, I didn't have a problem being there. I didn't have that bad of an experience, but there were people that were abused. There were people that were, you know, touched inappropriately. There were people that were psychologically abused, mentally abused, physically abused. And luckily I didn't experience any of that.
Is that something that you knew was going on while you were there, or is it something that you've later read about on websites and talked to these survivor groups?
I didn't know it was happening there. But like, again, like when you first get there, you get strip searched and you know, you get taken down to, you know, no clothing, and then you put on the clothing that they give you. So, you know, right off the rip, you're getting naked in front of
adults. Yeah, there's no reason for them to do that. Yeah.
Right.
And someone on Twitch had a good question. What did your brother think of this? Because he went. Does he feel the same way as you when you guys discuss it?
Yeah, I think for the most part. So we were out there for 5 or 6 weeks.
By the way, did they keep you together?
No. So I didn't know what was going on with him. He didn't know what was going on with me. But one of the counselors, just in passing while they were at his group, because I was in the boys A group, he was in boys B, was just like, all right, we're heading out. See you later, Phil. And he's like, wait a minute. He's like, you just called me Phil. He's like, my brother's out here, isn't he? He's like, no. He's like, no, I said Chris. He's like, no, you didn't. He's like, tell me, is my brother out here? And with that counselor slipping up, that's when he found out that I was there, and he basically was like, all right, well, I want to see my brother. If he's close enough, like, I'm going to go find him, or you're going to, you know, put us together. So they ended up joining both of our groups together, and that was the week before Thanksgiving. So we ended up getting to spend Thanksgiving together and spent the last couple weeks of our trip out there together.
Which certainly made it easier on you than the other kids.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a brother, support group, someone in this scary there. Place fucking loves me.
Somebody. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And just knowing what was happening with him, too, because, you know, as being my twin brother, you know, I love him more than anything, you know, in the world. And not knowing what's happening with him, what's going on, where he's at, all that stuff was a huge concern when I was out there and, you know, was on my mind.
Right.
Quite a bit.
So how long did you spend there?
6 weeks, as you said?
Yeah, I want to say like 72 days.
And your brother spent the same amount of time?
Yep.
And you and your brother are obviously still close.
Yeah. Yep.
What about your mom and dad? You still close with them?
Yeah. So after we got out, obviously there was quite a bit of repair that needed to happen with our relationship. I'm really close with my dad now, and I'm closer with my mom. I didn't really have a lot of respect for my mom or my dad, for that matter. Just the fact that they didn't really ever give us a clear answer to why they divorced, even after going through all of that. But as an adult, you kind of get past all that stuff, and it doesn't become as important.
Right.
And it's more like, okay, I just don't care anymore. I'd much rather just try to have a good relationship with you as an adult rather than, you know, a father son or a mother son relationship. Like, you're my parents. Let's just have a relationship as adults.
Yeah.
And so that has been what I've tried to build with them, you know, over the last 5 or 10 years. And it's getting better, but, you know, we didn't have a good relationship at that point. So we had a lot to work on.
Well, yeah.
Anyway,
well, so, you know, but, I mean? You know, the thing is, like, so you know, if my math is right, you go there, you're 17, you come back, you're 18.
Right.
So, I mean,
now if
now
you want
can
to,
bail.
You can leave.
You can be like, fuck off.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't have to get, you know, too far into it, but there was a little bit of getting sent out there that was kind of held over our heads when we got back. And so there was a little bit of responsibility that I felt to help my parents financially and just around the house and stuff like that. So there were.
Okay, wait, I know you don't want to get into it, and we don't have to, but your parents sent you to a camp, and then when you got back, they told you you had to help pay for it because they were now distressed over money?
So it wasn't directly that I had to pay for it, but
you had to help around the house because they were short on cash.
I had a responsibility to help where I could.
Wow. Okay. Is your brother an identical twin?
Yeah.
Why don't your names rhyme?
Well, is seriously your identical twin? You have an identical twin? Shit, I could talk to you about that for an hour. I mean, that's got to be a crazy life. You guys have your own language. You switch classes growing up. You do all that fun stuff. It's like a Disney movie.
It's weird. When we were younger, we looked identical. It was too late in the pregnancy for them to tell if we were one egg or two. But as we've gotten older, we don't look nearly as identical. But, you know, growing up, we used to finish each other's sentences. I would be thinking of a song, and I'd walk into a room, and he'd be humming like the chorus of that song, like as I got to it, like
the
whole twin telepathy thing is a real situation.
I've seen it on TV. I mean, it's pretty crazy. But the thought that like your brother could go out in some sort of a rage and murder someone, and then they find his DNA and they come to you and they say, "We've got your DNA. You murdered someone." It's all over the place. Well, I mean, you can say it's your brother's. Your brother can say it's yours, right? You guys have the same DNA.
Well, as we said earlier, like I got caught way more than him, so I'd probably end up going to jail. So,
right,
I'd probably say, be one fine. Of those things. Yeah. Yeah, it's something to think about. I don't know how they would ever prove that.
Let me ask you this: do you have kids?
Not currently.
Are you? You did have kids?
You got
no, no.
Oh, okay.
My wife and I are working on it.
Okay, good.
Don't have kids yet, but okay. We're working.
If you need help, let us know.
would you ever send them to one of these things? Say you had a kid and he acted just like you. Would you send him here? No.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's something.
I mean, that's it. Then,
that's
right?
Right. That's the
question. I mean, because you obviously look, man. We all got a lot of stuff to work on. We all got to figure out our lives and our heads, and none of it's easy. But that's really the answer, right? I mean, for you to say, "Hey, I took some positive things away from it." You're trying to make good out of a bad situation. We all have to do that, and that's good. But the real question is, if your kid was out selling drugs and stealing cars, would you send them to the same place that you sent them to? And if the answer is no, then the answer is no.
Right. And again, that goes back to like the whole hindsight is 2020. I don't think if my parents would have known that there was any kind of abuse or, foul play happening at these types of programs that they would have sent.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what.
And that's the thing. They get brainwashed too.
They're
right?
Manipulated into it.
Yeah, because, after we finished this program, they were trying to send us to a boarding school that was owned by the same parent company that owned Seuss, which most kids did. Is after they got done with this, they went to a boarding school. And obviously a lot of these programs aren't open anymore, but it was all a huge money grab.
Yeah, of course.
And luckily I got sent to a Boys and Girls Club in St. Charles, Missouri, where there was a kid that thought he was a wizard and jumped out of a window. Like, there was weird.
I could see Lazo sending his kid away if his kid thought he was a wizard. I could absolutely see that. Lazo's like, I don't know what my kid could do that I'd send him away, but I think if his kid said, I'm a wizard, and started wearing a hat and doing wizard raps, I think Lazo would send him away.
Right.
Your wife is on Twitch, by the way. She says there's no way you would send your kids to a camp like that.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Well,
she did say that.
Yeah.
It says Phil's wife is here. We will not send them there, is what she says.
Yeah. So not an option, which I mean, I wouldn't think.
We're on the same page then.
Yeah. But I mean, you might be, if they're out there trying to reopen these camps and they're looking for someone to, have something decent to say about them, it might be you.
You might be the only one.
You might be their guy. You might be, maybe you could start your own camp. I mean, these guys are getting rich. We saw the documentaries. Do you have any idea what your parents paid? Did you ever find out?
I think it was upwards of 80 for both my brother and myself. It was like 80 to 100,000.
Holy shit, man. Jesus Christ.
And that's
got to
be a thing where you're like, man, you guys made some really bad fucking decisions and you're just not capable of good parenting decisions, but obviously you loved me. You didn't,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you didn't think you were sending me somewhere bad for $100,000.
I mean,
right? I could just send you to a lot of shitty places for $3.
Right. This is like they want to save you.
And they wanted to help you because you're right. At the age of 18, they're not really on solid ground because you'd be able to do whatever you wanted. But also, getting you 2 months before you turn 18 is probably their way of like, this is our last chance to save him.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's how you justify it in your head. I think,
right.
Like, they that is a sign of love. They gave up on a lot of future plans, probably.
Right.
To pay $40,000. That's the other thing, is to think about $40,000, $50,000 a kid, and this place is putting you in your own underwear, giving you surplus T-shirts, and then feeding you a piece of pita with a swipe of peanut butter on it for lunch every day.
Right.
I mean, the cost for them to get you there and keep you there must be like $100.
Like how these people, like, scam you into it,
it's crazy.
It's like, I mean, for $100,000, I feel like you could have went to a place where Paul Giamatti's a professor,
right,
or something, right?
Or just
like,
bought you and your brother a house instead of just starting your life, at least,
right.
You can finish school,
go
but you got your
job.
Own house. Yeah, this will make you feel better. You got a house now.
Right.
That's
Here's a $100,000 deposit on an attorney. Do what you need to do.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Anything. I mean, that's crazy. I do think, though, that you use that as a sign of justification in your mind. Like, my parents spent a lot of money.
Right.
They're not rich.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like the amount of money that was spent on attorneys prior to that was not a small amount either.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, they helped out there as well. So.
Do you ever go to some of these, because as I'm looking up the place that you went, S-U-W-S, how do you say it?
Seuss.
As I go, man, do you ever go to any of these? There's a lot of survivor groups, a lot of information about the people who owned it, the people who put it on. People who talk about being abused while they're there. Apparently you had a burrito bag and you had to sleep on snow. Like, I know a lot about it.
Yeah. There's a lot of
Did you have a burrito bag?
Yeah, so they give you basically like just a plastic sheeting. You learn how to make like A-frame and like lean-to shelters and stuff like that. But for the first like week or two before you know how to do that, you basically just put your sleeping bag in it and tuck it in like a burrito so that if it rains, you don't get wet.
Right.
My like fifth day there, I wrote my journal about, you know, I wasn't suicidal, but I was interested. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I wonder what death is like. And they were like, all right, you're on suicide watch. So they just laid the tarp over you, and both counselors have to lay on either side of the tarp so they can hear when you move at night.
Oh, this is like them watching those kids in the hallways in that documentary. So, yeah.
But do you go to any support groups, or do you see the people? Have you followed up and done any investigations on this place, what it was like?
Joined Facebook groups, those
right.
sorts of things.
Right, you have gone to Reddit pages and then, like, you know, let that kind of open up your mind? Or it sounds to me like, you know, like, hey, you know, me and my parents were on solid ground. I love my brother. Like, let's
put this in the past. But
yeah, let's keep the past in the past.
No, I mean, I'm pretty active on the Seuss Facebook page. And, you know, I follow the Reddit page. And part of it is because that I think that there's still a lot that I can gain from reading other people's experiences. It's kind of like what you said earlier, like, just because it was my experience doesn't mean other people didn't have a different experience.
Of course. Sure.
And doesn't mean that it's not me, you know, trying to subconsciously manipulate myself into believing that this was just the greatest thing ever.
Right.
When really there's other things that might need to be addressed, you know, psychologically or introspectively.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I read what other people went through. I read what other people have to say about it. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that didn't like it, and a lot of people that had some really, really bad experiences. And, you know, going back to what you've asked multiple times, I think that there's a reason that all these programs are getting shut down.
Yeah.
No.
They don't look like things that should exist. From what I've read and what I've seen, they do not look like things that should exist, where kids should be under the care of these
people. We could talk to you for hours about this, and, you know, I appreciate your time. I mean, when they show up to your, I mean, I guess you probably didn't even talk to your parents about it. Like, me doing it from a parent standpoint now with two teenage boys, like, how did they come into my kitchen table and what did they sell me on?
Yeah.
Like, how did they get that to me? You know what I mean? Like, I'd almost like to talk to your dad. Like, I know that, you know, won't happen, but, like, how did they come in and sit at a table and show you this brochure and show you their qualifications for me to say, okay, on Thursday, you're going to come in here and take my kid and fly him to fucking Idaho. Like,
and they'll be in your
how'd
care.
You pull that off? Like, I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine it. And I certainly can't imagine without me going to Idaho first and see what the fuck you guys
well,
do.
Well, that's what I always think, too, is, like, you know, not getting eyes on the actual operation, right, which they never allowed for obvious reasons. But, you know, in these documentaries, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was similar with your parents, they say that these companies made sure that, you know, if a parent were searching troubled child, right, what do I do with my troubled teen, that their websites would pop up and say, we can help with your troubled teen. And they had nice websites that showed kids, you know, having fun at camp, you know, right, learning to take care of themselves and being reformed. And then your parents probably called them and they gave them a good sales pitch. And that's that, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy that it happens, but it happened to a lot of kids.
Yeah, a lot
and
of kids.
And it's a lot of money. That's the other thing. It's not like this place is saying, hey, we'll take them, and there's some other reason that they're going to take these kids. You know,
right,
they are requiring large sums of money. So the parents who are doing it,
they got to believe there's a good effect.
Exactly.
On it.
They want, we got to assume that they want what's best for their kids when they're spending that much money.
Right. We do.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, Phil. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I had fun talking to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I guess we'll see you on Twitch and, we'll see your wife on Twitch, and maybe we'll check out some of those.
You ever go camping?
Yeah, I love camping.
Fucking weird, man.
Really?
Fucking weird, bro. Whatever, man. Yeah, we got the only guy who loved this shit.
I know.
He's like, me? I own this shit. You're like,
well,
love
for
it.
Me, it was good. Yeah. Right. Oh, no, I got back. I paid for it.
Man, I paid for it. Told my parents it's cool. I loved it. Now I fucking camp all the time. Love it.
What I said, my kids are, and his wife's in the background going, no, no. Thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
All right, see ya. Bye.
And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Toxic and Problematic is brought to you by Mitra 9 Kratom and Kava. Visit Mitra-9.com and use promo code PROBLEMATIC for 25% off your order. Thank you to Direct Computer Outlet in Mission, Kansas for making our Twitch stream possible. Music graciously provided by Kid Computer. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.